That means make sure that tomorrow morning, if you have not yet done so, that you start Tzadi Gimel, which is very hard. In terms of what we're going to do today, so there are some things in Tzadi Beis that we're not going to do today because we've already done them, like the ladle discussion and the dinim of Isser Davuk, which I think we talked about already. So we're not going to go back and do those Davuk we did when we did Kovav and Chanan at the beginning of the year. It will make one Ha'ara about Davuk because it's going to come up right here, and again in Simen Tzadi Gimel. And again, it came up already in Tzadi Beis. It's going to come up now in Tzadi Beis, and again in Tzadi Gimel, and a bunch of other places. If you remember, there was two basic reasons for the Chumrah of Isser Davuk. The Isser V'Hatter, quoting the Smak, said that the problem is we're choshesh that maybe it left the rotev for a moment, right? Like when you're stirring it, it temporarily left the rotev, and then it would chananify the piece. Its piece, and then it went back in. So now you'll need Shishim Kinecto. Good. The Shach, which was in Simen Ayin Beis, if Katan Yud Ches, said a different reason, that maybe it absorbs more quickly in the piece that it's in. Right? Now, both of these are very much relevant to, let's say, the beginning of Tzadi Beis that we talked about last time. For example, let's look at the Shach for a moment. The Shach's more far-reaching. In terms of nafkaminas, there are kulas and chumras of both, as the Nosei Kalim point out. I think we've already seen some of this. This vater we saw quoted in Darkei Moshe, Sifkatan Aleph, Sin and Tzadi Beis. So there are nafkaminas lakan ulakan, but the Shach, I guess, overall is much more far-reaching. Why? Because the Shach is basically saying that the Yesod of Isser Davuk is that even though something is eventually going to spread, and even spread evenly throughout, such that it's eventually diffused and not no Saint Tom, since temporarily it will be no Saint Tom, we say Chanan. For example, that was one way to learn Rashi. One of the Mahalchim to explain Shitas Rashi, one of the three Mahalchim in the Darkei Moshe, was based off of that idea, right? In fact, the Or Zeruah, when explaining Rashi, quoted the notion of Isser Davuk. So that's where we saw it already. In a sense that, well, we'll talk about it in just a minute from now, but the Shita of the Maharam by the Chalav, so that's not exactly this, but it's very similar. What's the Chumrah of the Maharam? Right? The Tipas Chalav hits the outside of the pot, it's chananified, and then goes in. So you'll need Shishin Pan Mashishin. And what was, again, we'll get to the details of this in a minute, but what was the basic time of the Ravan Manashach? If it's going to go through, so then you also only should need Shishim Kneged the Tipa, because it's going to spread throughout. And if it's not going to go through, so then the contents of the pot should be mutter. And the simple understanding of the Maharam, who says you need Shishim Kneged Shishim, Shishim Pan Mashishim, even when it's a Kneged Rodev, is because of, again, a variation of this Isser Davuk as understood by the Maharam, which is as understood by the Shach. Namely, we don't say that just because eventually everything will spread, it's going to be mutter, as the Ravan claims, as the Smak claims, but rather, or Ravan also, right? But rather, what are we going to say? Instead, we're going to go ahead and say, nope, first step. Step one is Hanan in the walls of the pot. And then step two is the contents of the pot become Aser. So Mamele and Yichishim Pam Shishim. Okay, again, we'll get back to that, but just to show you how this idea comes up in different contexts, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, you have to ask if every case is exactly the same or there are differences. In the Simen Tzadi Gimel, it's going to come up. You probably didn't see it yet, but if you started Simen Tzadi Gimel and you saw that Darkei Moshe at the beginning, the idea that there is a Minhag, which the Ramah doesn't really like, but of a, if you put a milchik pot cover on a fleishig pot, even if the pot cover is, let's say, eno ben yomo, it's a problem. The Ramah says, what in the world, what are you talking about? And the Shach, again, maybe a little Lishitaso, explains, I don't know exactly how to explain the Metzias, but basically, there might be a little bit of be'en left at the top of the pot cover. He thinks it's like a cone-shaped pot cover, so you can't like really clean out the inside right away, and then we're gonna that's gonna first chanan be chananified, and then memeli you'll need shishim keneged shishim. Right? Now we don't just say, oh, well, since there's shishim keneged that, let's say again, the small residue, there's some milchig residue in the top cone of the top pot cover. But there's shishim keneged, so what are you worried about? Answer is no, the same type of idea that, well, first what's going to happen is the residue is going to become nevela, and then it will spread throughout. And therefore you'll need shishim pamim shishim, and you won't have that. Even though you have shishim connected the residue, you won't have shishim pamim shishim connected the residue, so you have a problem. So this is an idea. The Shach doesn't explain that, doesn't say it straight, say it outright, but I think that's what he probably means. So this is a question, this question of whether we assume, we sort of look at the long term or we look at the short term is the central question here. At the same time, we also know, and this is what we talked about last time when we did the Shach, that we don't always say that. For example, when the piece of drop of chalav hits the chaticha, right? Let's say for a moment, like the ri. So if it's mitzaso betoch habasar, so then we say that the whole pot's mutter, right? Now, I said before last chabura to defend the critique of the Rambam that maybe, you know, the basis for Rambam's chiddush about noer being okay is that, well, look what happened over here. Even the ri agrees that presumably for a second or two or three there was greater nesinas tam in the piece in which it landed, right? But we say no, since it's asid to spread, it's mutter. So you see, we don't say temporary chanan, or in terms of Rashi, right? Rashi would agree that you could, let's say, be mechase the kedera, and that solves everything. Even though pashup shad is for a moment, there was a problem. Now Rabbi pointed out to me after the Chabura, which is a good point, and should be stated, that if you look at the Rashi on that Mishnah, Rashi sounds like it wasn't even Mekabel Tam. As you do the Nir V'Kisui before, is even Mekabel Tam. Now, I figure out what exactly that means in terms of Metzius. I assume, does it mean that it was mamish like sticking on top, and there was no absorption, and you somehow managed to stir it or cover it before there's any absorption? Or it did get absorbed, and it wasn't no same Tam? Well, what would that mean? So, Sarchian, maybe the diuk isn't muchrach, but we do seem to, on some occasions, not say this, right? And the truth is, in the end of the day, lahalacha, we don't accept this maharam, right? The Shulchan Aruch is mekel. You don't need shishin pam shishin when it falls keneged hakadir. We'll have to figure out why that is also. But, so this question is really at the heart of this sugya v'ser davuk, but really will come up in many other places, and I guess as we go through this, you have to keep that in mind and systematize it. So that's just a derech agav in terms of what we're not doing today. Okay, so now what are we doing today? So we're going to do basically Sifhei Vav and Zayin. I think I mentioned at the beginning of the year that this Shaila, Mamish Shaila, was once asked to me. There was someone who had a chalent pot, and it was one of the, it was cheres, and it was the type that's exposed, not the type of crock pot where the pot's entirely enveloped. Okay, they're machmir, I guess, for hatmana. So, and their kid threw a bottle across the room, okay, happens all the time, you know. And as it's flying across the room, you could just imagine, so like drops of milk were squirting out. But not a lot, just like a couple of drops. Bottles basically are closed. And one such drop hit their chalent pot. Mama Shashayla. Was it keneged harotev? Was it shelo keneged harotev? It was cheres.
I assume it's covered, right?
Oh, very good. So that might help for the contents, but what about the thing? So, all right, we're not going to answer the question yet. After we go through it, you could figure out what you would answer to their Shaila. But this Mamish Arsimon Maisa, it really happened. Okay, what? Exactly. It was Erev Shabbos. When else would you have challenged? Okay, but I don't know. Was it their only, you know, most people, Most people have more people. Most people have more than one food to eat besides shalint at the Shabbos lunch. Okay, so these are. But it was Takar Shabbos. So good. So you'll after we're finished today, you'll think about what how you would answer such a question and what questions you have to ask the Shoel to properly answer that question. But Lemaisa, I was once mamish asked the shaila. It was a drop tipas chalav mivachutz. Okay, fine. I will. First, let's learn. Good. So this sugya starts in a Gemara in Zvachim actually, and it's mamish. Right, the Gemara in Zvachim says it's commenting. The pasuk says v'im b'kli nechoshes bushala umurak b'shutaf b'mayim. So the Gemara asks, if you did bishul b'miktas kli, do you need miriko shtifa b'kola kli or not? Now the Gemara concludes that you do need miriko shtifa b'kola kli. It's a diuk from the pasuk im from the word b'kli, right? Im b'kli nechoshes bushala. So, bikli implies even miktas kli. So I go ahead, I have a big pot that's 12 inches tall, and I cook a shlamim or a chatas in the bottom half of the kli, I still have to do mariko shtifa nikola kli. Okay? And then the Gemara starts clarifying, well, maybe this din is dafka by kachim, but it's not by other areas. So for example, there's a difference between truma and kachim, and the Amoraim have a whole debate about this. In other words, with respect to what din do we distinguish between truma and kachim? So according to Rava, again, not clear what the gear says, let's say Rava, by truma, we don't say bishal b'miktas kli, you need to do hagala b'chala kli, just by kachim. But by the Rava, they disagree, and they say, no, the chiluk between truma and kachim is said with respect to other things. So Tosas over there ask a very basic shaila. They say, I don't understand what's going on. L'chayra, the suffik of the Gemara is a suffik in mitzias, right? What's a suffik in mitzias? When you cook with something at the bottom of the kli, do the blios just stay at the bottom where the ochel came in contact with the pot? Or do we say, no, the blios somehow or another spread once they're absorbed into the kli? But if that's the shaila, so then why are we only asking the shaila in the context of Mariko Shtifa and Kachem L'chora? It's a shaila all the time. That's Tosus is shaila. And got there, starting with Tosfos. And Tosus doesn't answer the question. He does not answer the question. So the Chavos Das actually has a very choppy answer, but even without his chop, it points to a very important point, which will come up also in the next simon, which we have to know, which is that really the Gemara did not have a shaila for chulin. Why not? Because for chulin, manav shechet is going to be okay. If you went ahead and you said that the blios stay where they come in contact, it's going to be okay. Obviously, you only need to do hagala in the part of the kli that came in contact with the food. And if you say they spread throughout, so you also could only need to do hagala in that part. Why? Kabolo kachpoto. Just like they went in that way, they could go out that way. That's the klal and hagala. So for hagala, manav shach, it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter the shail of whether the mitzias they spread apart or they don't spread around. Either way, hagala is going to be good. But when it comes to kachim, we have a shaila. We know that the dinim of Miriko Shtifa for Kachim, and maybe this is also true with respect to Kli Charis, are different. It's not strictly, Miriko Shtifa is not strictly a din in Blios, right? And that's why the Gemara Zetzad, maybe this rule is, there's a chiluk between Truma and Kachim. Truma, we follow regular dinim Magala, or the Gemara in Psachim talks about what's the halacha if you hang a chatas in a kli cheres, but it doesn't actually touch the walls? So a bishul kapid rachmana or a bishul bilur kapid rachmana, even though there's no blios, maybe still you need to say shvira. So when it comes to, so this shaila is only a shaila for kachim, not for anything else. Now even if you accept the Chavos Das, again, Tosas presumably didn't, because he didn't answer his question. It's still not entirely clear what the maskana of the Gemara would be in terms of whether or not the blios spread. And again, without really going too much into the details, though, this would depend on the machlokas amoraim and how you understand the Gemara and the like. But I think we're not going to work on this too much, though it's kedai to work out. There are Rishonim that conclude from this Gemara that you see Bliyos do spread. There are Rishonim that conclude from this Gemara that you see Bliyos do not spread. And there are Rishonim that conclude from this Gemara that it remains a suffix whether or not Bliyos is spread. And hence, confusion in our simon. And as you said, this comes up in the Mordechai, how to understand the Maskanah of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Peretz, and the like, right? What exactly the Maskanah of the Gemara is, klape our halachos, meaning chulin and the like, are unclear. So while I guess you do have a sugya that relates to our question, there is no clear-cut conclusion about the maskana, or what the maskana of that gemara will say in terms of us. So as we go through the shitos, we'll see this a little bit. So let's begin, though, with the tour. So the tour discusses a machlokas rishonim about what happens when a tipas chalav is nafla al dofen akadera. So first of all, let's remember that earlier in the year, we saw a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban, whether or not there's blios, whether there's chananer by blios. Our whole discussion in this siman is assuming that there is chanan by blios. If there is no chanan by blios, then there's not much to talk about, assuming that you had shishim keneged the chalav, then you're set. Okay, you still might have to talk about koshering the pot or the like, but none of this discussion about shishim pamim shishim and all that discussion is relevant if you hold like the Ramban. So, for the most part, our discussion in our siman is assuming like the Rashba, namely there is chanan by blios. Moreover, for the most part, our discussion is not assuming like that shita, which may or may not exist, that says that there's a concern of chanan by charsis akli. Remember, the Rama quoted, or might have quoted, such an opinion. Again, the Shach tried to deny the existence of such a shita, but at least there might be such an opinion who holds that there's such a thing as chanan by charsis akli, not just chanan and blios, but by chanan by the charsis akli. Again, that doesn't seem to be the focus of our sugya, our simon, though we'll see it does come up a little bit, maybe according to the Taz. But that's not the concern either. So our concern is basically assuming that we do say chanan by blios, what is the status? What do we do when this tipas akadera hits the side of the pot? So now, the tour quotes three shitos, or possibly three shitos, as to what the halacha is in this case. Yes?
Here it's not so shaykh by the chasos akli, because it's, you're balsar of a chalav, it's not.
No, maybe not. Maybe I'll say, but you'll see in 5 minutes, mm-hmm. why actually it is. Mm-hmm. So the first shita quoted by the tour is the smag. And the smag seems to say that even one tipa could ruin everything. End of story. One drop of milk can ruin this whole pot of food. Now, it's not clear if this is actually an independent opinion or a presentation of the question. The Taz thinks that maybe actually this is not an independent opinion, but the way the Beis Yosef at least understands the smag and the first opinion in the Torah is that this shita holds that one drop of milk asers everything. Now, the question is, how could that be? Right? L'chora, let's assume it's keneged rota for a moment. So, l'chora, the second opinion, we'll talk about in a moment, the bara, makes a lot of sense. Worst case scenario, you should only have to worry about shishim pamim shishim. How could you be more machmir than that? Yet, the smug, as understood by the Beis Yosef, is in fact more machmir than that. So, what does the smug assume? So, the smug is assuming a number of chidushim. So number one is he assuming that bishul is mefapeh b'chol akli, meaning to say it's not just a gzeir sakasev that blio spread within the walls of the pot, but by kachim, but they happen by chulin also. And moreover, he's assuming that tipa does not become batal in the blios of the kedera. In other words, the kedera itself isn't mevatal that kli, because then it would also be okay. So it's not like ochal. For ochal, we know well, again, here, it also depends whether it's kachosh or shamin or tzli or the like, but more or less, let's say the Mishnah that we discussed last time said when you have the drop of milk hit the piece of meat, if there's shishim in the meat, connected to the drop of milk, then we assume that the drop of milk spreads itself too thin and it's not osi and tam and the whole piece is mutter. No, we don't say that with respect to pots. And we don't say like klipa and atila or the like. No. So that's assumption number one. Okay, that's an assumption we can live with. It's consistent with one reading of the Gemara in Zvachim, as we said. But why wouldn't he say shishim panim shishim? So here there's a couple of ways to explain the smag. One possibility is that it originally is mispashit a little bit. Ad shishim, so it up to 59 times its volume. And then that becomes chanan. And then we see chanan, we see bas v'chalav as a iser machmas atzmo, so it spreads a little further, and it spreads a little further, and apparently the smag would disagree with Einan Asar. Right. So we talked about before whether all Rishonim agree to Einan Asar, or some Rishonim disagree. I mean, we know some Rishonim disagree. The Ran disagrees with Einan Asar, for example. So maybe that's one way to explain this, that it's based off of Ein HaNasar. The Marshal in his Biur on the Smag thinks even that, even the Smag might only say it by Klicheres, as we'll see in a moment. But I guess that's one way to understand how one drop could oster the whole clay, right? It osters a little bit, it osters more, and then it goes in, whoosh, one drop could oster the whole thing. And if that's true, so then this Smag is going against all the rules that we've known and loved until this point, which might be okay. That's why everybody rejects this smag. As I said, Taz doesn't even acknowledge its existence. Yes?
Why is that theoretically, why can't it be fitting within Ein HaNasar? The Tiva Shokalov theoretically could be a minuscule part in each and every single fraction of this pot, just slowly but surely.
Okay, but why? I don't understand. It stopped. If it spread throughout, then it's not Nosin Tam. There's Shishim Kenegdo, right?
It's a slow process, like Rabbi said. It canonified first, then canonified another section.
But what? But it can't be Nosin Tam in the whole pot. It's a violation of Ein HaNasar.
Ein HaNasar, Tosos never says it has to be able to be Nosin Tam. It has to be reached there. Usually Tosos...
But not Al Tzchanan. In other words, well...
It doesn't have no problem with it in expanding the shear of the earth.
So the problem with saying it your way is that you should say the same thing for food. And I was assuming for a moment that... Now, you have that same question on me, right? So I'm getting out of it by saying we don't say Ein HaNasar. Okay. I guess you...
Time is a physical thing, so that if it goes there, then it goes there. There's no difference in... Nosin Tam and being there. That's what we mean when we say in an old.
No. He's saying like this. He's saying, look, it goes one drop of milk asa is the equivalent of 59 drops of meat, right? Okay, stop. They're all chanan. Now, that milk will now go a little further along with the meat. And asa the next 59 drops. Now, it's not formally a violation of Ein HaNasar. It would only be a violation of Ein HaNasar if the meat left, but the milk stayed where it is. But if the milk itself continues to spread, so then we don't say Ein HaNasar. Just like one drop of milk asers one piece of meat, and then that piece of meat, if stirred up, asers the whole pot, and we don't say Ein HaNasar, right? Because a little bit of that milk leaves that piece of meat. So the same thing could happen in the walls of the pot. That's the model Rabbi is saying. And then, if worked that way, the model of his pshat is you don't have to deny. You have to you'd have to explain why that doesn't happen in food, but you'd have to say something along the lines of, due to the slow, blios and food are quick moving, okay, even if they're not instantaneous, and blios within the walls of a pot are slow moving or something like that, and that would explain. That Metzius would explain the smag without violating technically the rule of Ein HaNasar. Right? Yeah?
To support Rabbi, Shmuel and I were quoting the Ran all the way back in Sadiches about liquids. because they're liquids. If you have moshes that wasn't liquid, so it's not batal.
Well, anyway, the Ran doesn't hold them in an eser, as we know.
No, so I'm saying here. Well, I'm saying I'm just quoting that idea, not necessarily in an eser of the Ran, but here the smak says ein makom lebatel. I think he says, meaning there's no place. In other words, we look at the blios as separate and distinct. Each blia is almost as if it's separate. That's why it can't be mevatel.
Well, that's a different, a totally different shot. You're saying you can't have bittel and blios.
No, but that's
not what he's saying. He's saying you have, of course, you have bittel and blios. But the point is, it first.
This fact says there is no bittel and blios.
That's not what I'd be saying.
Sorry.
Of course, there's bittel and blios. How could you deny that? We'll get to the another possibility. Why wouldn't there be bittel and blios? It doesn't make any sense to say that. There's no practical. You can't assume bittel and blios. It's not a fundamental objection. There's no such thing that bittel doesn't work. Right, well, that's not what he's saying. That wouldn't. What Rabbi's saying is your mahalach doesn't make any sense at all. That doesn't make sense.
No, I'm saying.
But he's saying a different shot. Of course, there is theoretically there's bittel and blios. There's no practical bittel and blios because it spreads so slowly that chanan is chal, and then it spreads a little further and a little further and a little further, and memela, in a series of steps, it can successfully asher the whole thing. Of course, there's bittel. There's just no practical bittel. You're suggesting something totally different. The reason why one would be averse to saying what you're saying is why? Once that drop of milk does spread, why? What's stopping it from becoming bato?
Because it's similar to... But that's why we quoted the Ran.
What does the Ran tell you? How does the Ran help?
Because why isn't it bato?
What Ran?
The Ran by liquids, that if it falls into... No matter how much liquid it falls into, it's not bottled.
I don't know what round you're talking about.
No, in the full room, it was one of the first rounds that they looked
at. Maybe I forgot.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong.
The round, I just don't know what you're talking about. A liquid falls into a liquid.
Yeah?
So it's not bottled. I feel about LF, he said.
What?
Mamashis.
There's mamashis and then it falls into lachblach.
That's something else. That's if there's, the mamashis is still there, it's still there. There's no lach b'lach. Of course, there's bittel.
So here, what is ink?
Lach b'lach means right. Nobody denies bittel for lach b'lach.
No one denies bittel.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't understand what you're saying.
Okay, so maybe it's not the Ran. I was also maybe suggesting something else, but nonetheless, essentially, he says ink hamakom
I'm asking you why. So he gave a reason why there's no bittel.
The blios don't connect. The blios aren't considered one.
So then, how could it asari everything?
Because it hits each one individually.
That's very difficult to say. It has the capacity to asari everything, but not the capacity to be bato. But anyway, I don't know why you would say that. But if you did say that, that's definitely not what he's saying. Right? Why? How can it asser everything without having the capacity? Great. Assers. But
he is referencing the Ran. The Ran does say that kol hashem asar guva v'yayv taima apilu be'elef asar medarayim.
That's because it's yayv taima.
What?
That's yayv taima. Doesn't it seem as
tam? Oh, we're going to present this
time.
Nonetheless, so not the
rod,
but
ain't kan mako. Okay, so that your pshat would be much, much, much more revolutionary.
That's what he said.
Well, it could just mean practically there's no room for bittel because of the reason we explained. Since it spreads slowly, it chananifies that amount. Mm-hmm. In other words, bittel relies on rapid transportation, right? Because it has to be me'urav with everything for everything to be mevatel. So there's no bittel here because it spreads too slowly for bittel, right? But not that there's a fundamental objection to bittel when it comes to.
Wouldn't this work well with the opinion of the chanan by blios? In other words, why don't you say chanan by blios?
Then great. If you don't say chanan by blios, there's mamish nothing to talk about.
But why not? Why wouldn't we?
You tell me.
Because I'm kan mako.
Great. So good. So then, but you shouldn't say chanan. Right? What you're saying is, you don't say chanan, you don't say bittel, but you do say chanan. What logic is there in that? Do you only say chanan because they're me'urav?
Oh.
And then you should say bittel. Okay, good. Possibility two, to explain this smag, is that he holds for blios b'char sesagdera, going back to what you were suggesting. Right? In other words, let's imagine the following scenario. And this would also explain the smog very well. Let's say in this walls of the pot, right? So we never know exactly how many blios, how much blios are in the walls of the pot. We're choshish for the worst case scenario in all circumstances. So let's say the volume of this pot is 10 kizasin, but in the there are 59 drops of flesha gablia. So now the one drop of milk will chananify all 60 drops, and they, because they're equally diffused throughout this the entire pot, if you hold of chanan, becharsis hakadeira, so then the whole thing is chanan. And therefore, unless you had shishim keneged the walls of the pot, which we assume you don't in general, so then the whole thing becomes aser through one drop. So, again, we saw earlier that there are there's a lot of evidence that at least some Rishonim hold of that idea, the Shach notwithstanding, and that being the case, so that would also do it. And that's the way, that's another way to do it, right? Remember the idea that we use to explain, based off the Rav, of how could you have Chanan B'char Sekedera, is you have to be Mevatel, not just the Isser, but the carrier of the Isser. And since here the pot is the carrier of the Isser, so you need to be Mevatel it. And as I mentioned, the Maharshal, for example, understands that the Smag was only talking about, anyway, a case of Cheres, which might be the only time where you say that there's Blios in the, you have to be Choshesh for the Chanan and the Chares Segdera. So that would be another way to explain the Smag. One way or the other, though, we have two theories to explain the Smag, but we definitely don't accept that view, Lahalacha, which brings us to the next view, but first, Ellie's question.
Are you saying that it chananifies the blios and then the pot itself? It's like two stages of chananifying?
Well, no, it chananifies the blios. It doesn't, you can't, the pot itself, again, what we said last time when we talked about this is, even the opinion that says that you have chanan by the charsis hakadeva, that doesn't really mean it's chanan. It's not food, right? There's no iser to eat this klicheres, right? What does it mean? It's a chiddush in chanan. The chiddush of chanan is, in general, that you have to be mevatel, and that's why, as we talked about before, you could have chanan without having nefach, right? The shayla, remember back in the beginning, we showed how within a rishonim, the shayla of chanan is not the same shayla as iser nefach, heter nefach l'iser, right? The Ramban considers chanan, but he rejects that. Rabbeinu Tam might hold of Isser Nefach even without Chanan, right, within the Rosh. So what's the Yisod of Chanan in general? It's not that the Isser, Heter turned into Isser, that's not Chanan, though that might happen in Basar B'Chalav, but Chanan by Shari Surin, certainly not. Rather, the Pshat in Chanan is you have to be Mevatel, not just the Isser, but the carrier of the Isser. So the pot is the carrier of the Isser. So since you have 60, yeah, it's entire, the this pot is entirely balua with iser, so then you need to be mevatel, not just the iser that's balua in the pot, but the pot itself.
What's
the iser? Bas chalav.
Because of
the blios of chalav, aser the blios of basar in the walls of the pot.
Why wasn't
the
pot though?
Because there's only 59 drops of meat in the walls of the pot, and one drop of milk. It's not a shear. There wasn't enough meat to be mevatel it.
Isn't that a big kimta?
It's not. You have no idea. We always assume that we have no idea how many blios are in a pot. We always assume that. That's not a new kimta. I have no idea. It's not a new kimta. In all of your day, we assume that I have no idea how many blios are in the walls of the pot. Maybe it's saturated. Maybe there's very little. If there's very little, then this one drop of milk has the capacity to usher up all the blios. Okay, good. So the Maram says you need shishim pamim shishim. And the way the Beis Yosef explains the Maram is that the Maskan of the Gemara Zvachim, this was basically a suffix, whether it's mefapeh or not. And if it is mefapeh, that's mistaber, that the tipa is mispashetes bekolakli and would be batel in the balua. But we're choshesh that it's not mefapeh bekolakli. Maybe it stops just at the right moment. Which moment? right before Shishim, right? And at that point, it would chananify, and then it would go in, and that would be the problem. So According to the Maharam, there's no difference between whether it's nafla keneged the tavshil or not keneged the tavshil. Because even if it's not, you know, even if it's keneged a tavshil, if it's not keneged a tavshil, it's obvious why there would be a problem. But even if it's keneged a tavshil, you'd have a problem, because again, it just stops at the right moment to maximize damage. We don't know when it stops. Obviously, it might stop earlier, it might stop later, but we have to presume the worst case scenario, or choshes for the worst case scenario. So worst case scenario is that it's going to stop at some point when it would maximize the damage, and then it'll go in. And essentially, as we pointed out just a couple minutes ago, that this is a manifestation of the Shach's version of Isser Davuk, right? The idea of, for food, we don't usually say this. For food, we usually assume, at least if things are mixed, or if they're shamein or the like, it doesn't stop randomly. But sometimes, even for food, we have this idea, like an Isser Davuk. The idea of an Isser Davuk is that it, you know, it's in higher concentration in the piece that it's attached to, and chananifies that piece, and memela could, you know. So just like for Isser Davuk, theoretically, you could require shishim pamim, shishim in a kedera, so too, the walls of the pot are ki'ilu, it's davuk, right? Imagine that situation. So that is the asfar, the maram.
However, where, I mean, the kedera will be mutter.
It seemed like from a shoot that it would be.
Where?
If you knew how much.
In the shoot, it's a.
He says the kedera would be mutter.
Okay, doesn't seem to be that's the way Beis Yosef is reading it, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so Tzarchian. You showed me even, but I didn't, at least so far, I was not ma'ayin in the Shut Maharam inside, but at least the way it's quoted by the Beis Yosef and Inose Kalim on our Simen, do not assume that it would be mutter according to the Maharam. Now, I don't know how it would be, actually. How would you possibly explain that you need shishim pam shishim, and then why would it be mutter?
Theoretically, a pool, meaning a bean size of chalav, hits the walls of the tree, right. And there's, you know how much it is, right? That's his chumra, another chumra.
You're saying you have shishim pam shishim, right?
In the shamnunis of the kedera.
Not the shamnunis, the contents.
No, the shamnunis of the blios of the kedera.
What does shamnunis have to do with anything?
No, the shamnunis in the kedera is mevato, the blios of the kedera are mevato of this chalav.
In the walls of the pot, or
yes,
in the walls of the pot. So then why would you need shishim pam shishim?
Ever? This is a case when you wouldn't need it.
You mean when absorbed fatty, when the blios are shamin, then the pot's mutter,
yes.
And you don't need shishim pam shishim. Right. And if the blios are kachosh, then you need shishim pam shishim.
So
I don't know what you're talking about. Then why do you ever need shishim pam shishim?
When you don't have,
you don't know how much went onto the.
But you never know how many blios are in the walls of the pot.
You saw.
I'll show you the inside.
Oh, you mean I actually see it?
You saw
what you're saying. Lu Yatsuyer, you had a scenario where you know how much blios are in the walls of the pot. Then even the maram could be matir. Okay, that I'm fine with. In other words, right? Because in other, it's come out impossible. But you see, you know, you have whatever it is. You have a kezias of meat in this pot, and you watch the kezias of meat melt into the walls of the pot. Now it's disappeared, and somehow you know it all went to the walls of the pot, right? We talked about before. Don't you have to be choshish? It went into the atmosphere. But somehow or another, you know that none of this went into the atmosphere. It all went into the walls of the pot. Now, and then in that spot that it evaporated into a drop of milk hit, so then you would agree, okay, fine, interesting. But generally speaking, when you don't, so that's when you need shishim pam shishim. Right? Even in that case, I'm not sure why you would have to say that, because maybe it stopped just short. Or how do we know, just like it doesn't usually spread itself totally thin according to the Maharam, why in that case, where you even know how much is it, why do you assume it didn't spread itself thin? So you're saying no, the pshat in there is it doesn't spread itself totally thin because you think that it actually does, but you think that maybe there's only 59 in the thing. Okay, interesting. Fine. Good. So next shita is the Ri, who is cited by the Maharam, that you only need shishim keneged the ovi makom shenafal. The keder would be aser, meaning to say it doesn't spread out, it only spreads through. What time is it? Okay, we're going to skip that shita. the next shita is the Ravan. And there's a big machlokas over here, how to understand the Ravan. More or less, the Shach and the Gra understand it one way, and maybe the Beis Yosef. All right, so well, let's take one step back. Right, so what's the Ravan? So the Beis Yosef quotes the Ravan as saying, if there's Shishim in the Kedera, Hakol Mutter. So the question is why? Right? Why? Doesn't say. Why, if there's Shishim in the Kedera, is it all Mutter? So the Ravan is quoted in the Mordechai. And it's also hard to understand what exactly he means over there in the Mordechai. Like you pointed out, there's that toast, that the Haggah from the Ramah in the Mordechai. Very hard to figure out. But the Truma Sadashin at the very least explains it. Simon Kuf Pei Gimel in the Truma Sadashin. And the Truma Sadashin is actually Mekel on the Shaila for two reasons. I'll read it to you if you didn't see it. Amnam Alo Chazin al Rabban Kshishai Dehavi Daiki Lidrosh B'Shoal Ehora. It's talking about a different Shaila. But see things like this. And we talk Kach Karvani Be'enai Shafilu Have Yod A Bivadai Shenitzchav Shtei Pa'amim, talking about a spoon that you dipped in twice. We don't need more than Shishim. And that's why nobody ever asked that Shaila. And he says, what are we doing? We're Somech on the Rabban. That's quoted in a Mordechai. Be'u Uvda De'ired Magansa B'kedera Shaisa Shfusa Eitzel Ha'ish B'nita Zalah Chalav. The Kas of Rabban. De'ein Lomar Da'chalav Nivla Hanivla no sintam berotev, hanivla bikadera vanasar oso rotev, chozer oso harotev, vino sintam bikadera vosar akol mitamin bimino. No, halo aminan, ela berotev shepikadera bachutz, the harotev hanivla, hakol echad, levata la cholav. So, reason number one, this is what the Ravan holds, he's saying, why is it mutter? Is that we don't look at this basically as two tarovos, which is, as we said, basically the svara of the Maharam Lahachmir. The Maharam says basically you have tarovos A, that's the walls of the pot, and tarovos B is the contents of the food. And first it basically answers tarovos A, and then we see all of tarovos A going into tarovos B. No, not true. We see them all as one. And therefore, there's no place to say Hanan. Good. And he explains that's why there's no difference between Kneged HaRotev and Lo Kneged HaRotev. Good. The second reason why, at least the Truma Sadeshin says it's Mutter, this one might not be based off of the Ravan itself, but a second reason, Lemaisa, is that the Ramban, we don't say Hanan by Blios. And he actually, this is where he gives a reason for the Ramban. You asked before, what's the Svara of the Ramban? So the Truma Sadeshin says, I'll tell you the Svara of the Ramban. We actually saw this last time because the Gra quoted it. It's like Tuma Blua. All right, figure out what that means. But one, it's actually a very interesting thing. I think you might have talked about it the last time, I don't remember. That is the Svara of to be Mekel. And if you take a look, actually, at the Aruch HaShulchan, Sifkat Lamed Hei, he quotes it according to Tosfos and Zvachim, over there, what we talked about, it would also be Mutter, based off the Ravan and the Truma Sadeshen, and therefore, he says, there's no makam to be machmir k'shenaf latifa atipa bedofen akadera, because there's always shishim bibalua, bedofen akadera. In other words, he is willing to assume that you'll have shishim bibalua. I guess the Aruch Shulchan is saying we don't pass him like the Shulchan Aruch. He's willing to be makel across the boards. But that's the Svara of the Ravan. Okay. The next view we have is the Smak. So the Smak is the one who introduces this new distinction of, well, it depends where it landed, right? According to the first opinions, all the opinions we've seen until now, it doesn't really matter where it landed. The Smak says actually makes a big difference. If it's Nafal Keneged HaTav Shil, then you just need Shishim Keneged the Tipa. Why? Because he understands that Lefi Maskanas HaGemara in Zvachim, there's a suffix whether it's Mifapeh B'chol HaKli, but if the tipa is nafla kenegra tavshil, then you could be matir mimanavshach, right? Because if it's mifapea, then it's going to be batel, and if it's not mifapea, it's not going to be osir. Now, there's a machlokas how to understand the smak. And this is a machlokas basically between the Beis Yosef versus the Taz. The Shach, I think, also learns like the Beis Yosef. It's a machlokas between the Beis Yosef versus the Taz. And there's basically two lines in the smak, two sentences, and we have to translate the sentence according to each opinion. So the smak basically says, E mifa pas b'chol hakli harein is batla, v'meinu mifa pas az lo yasor. So what does that mean? So let's break it apart. The Beis Yosef says that means if it's mifapas in the lachlucha shebekedera, right? So the smak says if it's spread throughout the walls of the pot, so great, it's batel. Now the Beis Yosef notes that when the Torah quotes the smak, he didn't mention this point, but that's line one of the smak. And the second line is bim enam efapas as lo yasser. That's what the Torah writes. It's kilu nafshla betavshil, right? Meaning to say, if it's not mifapas, great. What are you worried about, right? It has no effect on the contents of the pot if it's not mifapas. In other words, there's two options, only two options. Either it's mifapas or it's not mifapas. And mimanefshach it's mutter. If it's mifapas, it's going to be batel in the walls of the pot. And if it's not mifapas, then it stays in the walls of the pot. Great. The way, that's what the Torah means when it says, Kilo nafla
b'tavshil. He means mutter. So it has nothing to do with
yeah. Now, the way that Taz reads it is different. He says, Imefa pas b'chol akli, arei nisbatla. B'chol akli means it's nisbatel b'tavshil. That's what the Torah says, it's nisbatel b'tavshil. So if it's mifa pas b'chol akli, arei nisbatla, not in the walls of the pot, but in the tavshil. The enam ifapas, aslo yasar, meaning to say, because the tipa remains inside the walls of the kli. And again, the Torah mentioned that, machmas pshituso. That's what the Taz says. Now, obviously, according to both opinions, it comes out that it's mutter, but there's a couple of differences, right? Again, according to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, so the smak is saying that if it's mifapas begufa gdera, right, that's what it means, b'cholakli, so then for sure it will be batel, there's for sure going to be shishim bibalua negatipa. And the point is, what isn't the smak chodesh for? The strange concern of the Maharam that, well, it is mifapas, but then it stops at the worst possible time. Right? It's all of a sudden stops spreading once it reaches 59 drops. No. Whoever heard of such a thing? If it's going to spread, it'll spread itself thin. Just like we say for food. Great. And we're not choshish for that chumer of the Maharam. If it's not mispashetas b'kederet, so it's tispashet b'tavshil, right? And therefore, it's enough with shishim in the tavshil, right? So either it spreads in the walls, or it goes through the walls and into the tavshil. And miman of shach, it's going to be mutter if it spreads, right? Okay, good. The Taz, let's say it like this. There's a problem with the Beis Yosef that the Taz is, I think, trying to answer, even though probably the Lashon is a little simpler if you learn like the Beis Yosef and the Shach. But what is being addressed is that, let's say it's lamala min arotev. So there, we're concerned that it spread a little bit and then it stopped. Right? Even the smak agrees to that. It spread a little bit. That's why shelo keneged arotev, the smak is worried. So why is it that Lemala min arotev, we're afraid of the arrested development, but lemata min arotev, we're not. So, right, again, if you disagree with the Maharam, so disagree with him entirely. and say even lamala min arotav is okay. So what's the pshat in the smak? So according to the Taz, it's very simple, right? Either it goes in, or it doesn't go in. So very good. So therefore, lamala min arotav you have a problem, but lamata min arotav you don't. Now, what's the Beis Yosef going to answer? So l'chora, what the Beis Yosef will say, and this is, I think, what the Shach explains in Sivkan Chav Zayin. The Shach writes, "Vim lo nispashit b'kol akli, mistama nechnas lefnim, v'nisbatel." And the way I understand it is the following. He says mistama, meaning to say it's not a true miman of Shach, the way the Taz says it, that it's bevadai going to be okay. It's not a true, it's mistama. And the idea is that there's something, what's preventing the tipa from being nispashit more? So either it's because it's fully dissipated, or because it's being drawn in. Right? That's what the Shach says. So that's the svara, that's the miman of Shach, of the smak. But that's only when it's lamata, right? That's when it's keneged arotev. Because then we say what's preventing it from going further, from spreading itself thin, until there's nothing left, is because it's being drawn in. So you have a miman of shach, or almost a miman of shach, when it's keneged arotev. But when it's on top, there's nothing drawing it in. So then we're afraid that it sort of runs out of steam, right? But doesn't spread itself thin, right? Lamashal, like if you, you know, when you have a stain on, you spill some soda, and you go ahead and you put a paper towel on it, right? So what happens? It spreads itself to a certain point of saturation, and then it stops, right? And you'll be left with a paper towel with like a circle around where the spot was. We don't say it spreads itself thin. It stops at a certain point. So that's the smak acknowledged that possibility, which is why lamala min arotev, it's a problem. But lamata min arotev, it's going to be okay, because you have the blios drawing it in. The stomach.
Is that a metzia, that the food draws the outside?
Ve'im lo nispashet b'chol akli. Right, if it's then mistama nichnas lefnim v'nisbatel, it's a mistama. Mistama. That's exactly the way the Shach explains the smak. So there's a number of nafkaminas. For example, we'll talk about the big nafkamina is the kedera, but if you take a look, the Chazon Ish says one nafkamina is if there's no shishim in the balua shebedofen hakedera, but there's shishim in the tavshil. Right? So according to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, it's going to be usher, because it's going to go ahead. Right, again, you hear the case?
Shishim in the tavshil, no shishim.
There's no shishim in the balua, shebedofen hakadera.
So we assume you know how much.
How do you know?
Oh, no, let's just... Oh, you could have chadda. No, I meant a simpler case. That the that there's not enough space for it to spread out and be bato.
What?
You'd have to have a funny shaped pot for this, but even if it spread itself out in the area that's keneged harotev, there would not be shishim.
Okay. A big jap.
Like whatever. A very wide.
Something like that. Yeah. Face. Okay. So, according to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, that would be Asher, according to the Smak, because there wouldn't be Shishim Levatla, right? You need to be able, but according to the Taz, it would be Mutter, because on the Tzad, that it's not Mispashet as Betavshil, it's just going to stay where it is. But the more straightforward Nafkamina, between the Taz and the Shach, is going to be the case of the Keder itself. Now, Hoodie was showing me this morning some sources on this topic that I did not, including the Chus Maram, which I did not yet have a chance to explore. But the Beis Yosef, quoting the Mordechai, quoting the Maram, writes that Af Agav de Sharina Natavshel Mishum de Isbe Shishim Pamim Shishim Kineged Atipa Li Olam Akedera Asura. Right now. That's certainly true according to the Maharam. The question is, we paskin like the smak. So, would you say that if assuming it fell keneged a tavshil, that the kedera is mutter? Maybe. So that's exactly what the Taz says. The Taz says the kedera is not aser at all. So he writes that you should betar schumra, you shouldn't use it, but mikra din, it's mutter. Right? And it's fascinating because the Taz says even though there's basically milk absorbed in this pot, and the Torah idal kli chares that you're never going to get this milk out, still, right, which is why the Ramah is machmir for the pot against the Taz. Still, if it didn't come out the first time, you don't have to worry it's going to come out the second time, right? Taz says the same thing later on, also in Sifkan Chaf Dalet. So that's good, right? That'll be according to the Taz's reading, because the Mamanav Shach of the Taz is either it's going to come out or it's not going to come out. And the Taz says, well, if it's not going to come out, so just like it's mutter this time, it'll be mutter next time, right? What do you have to worry about?
The second side doesn't assume that it could not come out just one time, it will come out a different time?
Correct. The Taz is not a concern with that.
Generally we say that. Generally we say that if something is bolea...
No, but that's because it's a good hara. That's different. That is when something actually got absorbed and was here, and in use again, so we say, oh, maybe the second time it didn't come out, the third time it did come out. But here we don't even know. In other words, here, the food was mutter the first time. The food was mutter the first time because of the Memana Shach. So the Memana Shach will apply the second time also. That is a... I don't know if you could say it that way. I don't know if you have to say it that way. That din applies when the pot becomes usher, right? Because it's here. So then, we don't know when it left. Over here, there was never isser, right? There was never isser. One second. Whereas the Ramah writes in Sivvav that according to the smak, the kedera would be aser. And that's why he says you have to immediately pour it out on the other side, the shach explains, to prevent furthering of the iser. And the way the shach, right, like the shach explains, it maybe it sort of started spreading but didn't finish spreading, so why should you, even though it will be mutter if you don't pour it out, because it fell connected to the kedera, you still have the mamana shach, but why rely on unnecessary bittel? So quickly pour it out, and it's going to be okay, right? That's the shach's explanation. But Lamaisa the Ramah writes that the pot is going to be usher. The pot's going to be usher. And that's not going to be true according to the Taz. And the way the Taz understands Manashal. It's interesting, actually. If you take a look at the Gra over there, the Gra writes that the reason for the Ramah is what? Because Kli Cheretz Eino Yotze Midei Delphi Oliolam. So the Mashmos is that the smak would agree, or the Ramah would agree, that if it's not a Kli Cheres, of course you could use this Kli again. You wouldn't have to kasha the Kli, if you could kasha the Kli. Right? The only concern is in the case of a Kli Cheres. Okay, yes?
This is what I was referencing before the beginning of the Chal Mikzas V'Chal Kulo, isn't this the same sugya?
No. Chanak Tzolcham Kulo, maybe we'll have a chance to go back to that, but because it is coming up again soon, is with respect to the Blios Shalo Keneged HaRotev. Right? Here we're talking about Keneged HaRotev, and therefore you have the Mimana Shach. Either you have the Mimana Shach of the Beis Yosef, or you have the Mimana Shach of the Taz.
I don't understand. Meaning...
That's why I didn't know he mentioned that here.
I know, that's what I'm asking.
Right, so the answer is that what's the manav shach of the smak, right? Let's say according to Beis Yosef, if the tipa is mefapas begufa kedera, So then it's going to be batel, right? Because there's shishim kineged the balua. And if not, if it's not going to spread within the walls of the pot, but it's going to go in, then it's also going to be mutter, because you have shishim kineged the tipa in the tavshil.
Can I get the recap? If we don't assume like a rain of Paris, why does it spread? Why are we assuming that it spreads? It should only hit.
Where did it hit? It fell connected to Balua. So let's do the Beis Yosef first, and we can go back to the Taz. Right? So, right now it hit connected to Tavshil. So there's two options, and both of them yield Heter. Option one is it spreads throughout the walls and doesn't go in. Right? If so, Heter. Spread itself thin, and it's going to be Batel within the walls of the pot. Option two is no, it doesn't spread horizontally, it spreads vertically. I don't know. So therefore, it's going to go in. Okay, therefore, in that, if that's what happens, there's also shishim connected to tiba. So manashach, you're okay. What do you have to worry about? No problems. The kli is going to remain aser, because, but the food is mutter mimanashach, assuming it's connected to rotev, right? And we explained, what's the pshat? Well, why are we concerned l'malam and a rotev, but not l'matam and a rotev? The answer is, the way the shach explained, is because when it's l'matam and a rotev, the mimanashach is based off of the fact, what prevents it from sort of partially spreading, but not fully spreading, is being drawn into the pot. So l'malam and a rotev, you have a problem.
Right, but I'm saying...
That's the way the Beis Yosef says it.
We're talking against the rabbinic parents. Isn't that second side of the lupus? In other words, why would it spread throughout the whole pot?
The whole pot's hot. The Pasha, we'll get to that later. The Chiddush of Chametz Tzitzchem Kulo is even when it's cold, not when it's hot. Okay. We'll return to that question. Good. Right? And then the Taz has his version of the Meman of Shach. Right? Okay. Because the Taz assumes that either it goes in or it doesn't go in. Good. Now, okay. So we I guess what time is it? Okay, the Rama writes that this is all with the Kedera Yeshana, but a Kedera Chadasha or Yeshana that's Eino Ben Yomo, so then Ein Lachosh. Even if it's keneged makom harekan, as long as there's shishim in the tavshil, right? Because there's nothing to worry about. Now, the shach, sifkan gimel, chav gimel, points out there's a technical problem here, which is, what difference does it make that it's a new pot? Right now, I'm cooking meat in this pot, right? And everything is connected. So, if you were to say that it's mefapel amala mea rotev, so the tipa will be mefapel amala mea rotev, and it should be batel b'shishim, and it shouldn't be aser in the kedera. So what does the shach say? Rafagav l'chor lo dami l'kaf dehasam kevan shichadasha v'nir achar kach b'kedera en sach shishim el keneged ma shabala aval hacha kedera chashiva kimo yeshana shari mevashlum ba'ata basar v'nafal ala tipas chalav v'shas bishol kol makom kevan sh'ata ba'leser dofen akadera machmas atipa. So answer number one, al korchach tzarch lomar shema lo bishel tzarch lomar shema bishel eno mefapeya b'chol akli v'imkein lo mefapeya nami atavshel l'mala v'im papeya l'mala imkein gam atipa mispashatas ad Lamata. It's very interesting because if l'chori this is a very good answer, right? It's a good mimanashach. So why does he need two other answers? Very interesting.
What's the first answer again?
He says manashach. If you're going to go ahead and say that blios in the walls of the pot don't spread, so then you don't have to worry about this going to the top of the pot. And if they do spread, then when you cooked in it the first time, when you're cooking the meat also spread. Anyway, he gives another answer.
Would it mean it can spread at the same time as the tipa, or did it have to be spread first?
No, it's fine. You, of course it's spread first. You start cooking the meat.
But you're cooking, let's say you're cooking, I mean, like the child, the children's cooking, so...
Okay, but so you started cooking like, already before the drop hit it.
I mean, how are we going to... we're going to make a demarker, it's already spread out completely through.
Well, whatever was going to happen, happened already. If you think things spread in walls, then they spread in walls, and then it already happened.
Like Rav was saying, it's a slow process, so then it wouldn't necessarily, the Manashach doesn't have a full other time.
Okay, maybe. So, the second answer is, and this is sort of what you were saying, but not nearly as ambitious, is that it landed before it was hot. Now, this is very hard to understand, because if it's not hot, then how did it get absorbed into the dough and a kadera? And if the kadera is hot, right? So it's hard to understand this also. And then his third answer, Inam yachash nafal hatipa ala kadera shel mayim nasnu bo basar. So answers 2 and 3 basically are all basically saying that the chalav was not nispashet lamala. Which raises an issue about Hanan, right? Unless you say that the second and third answer are based off of the first answer. But if they're based off of the first answer, then why do you even need the second and third answer?
What's the difficulty with the second and third answers?
They're both talking about a case where the chalav is not nispashet lamala, right?
Not nispashet lamata?
Lamala. All right, I didn't understand these answers, as you could see. So something to work on. I guess a couple of quick ha'aros, since we're out of time. So number one is we have this hatar sif zayin of Erev Shabbos, right, or Shasat Chak, or the like. So what's the pshat in the hatar? Is the hatar just limiting the minhag lahachmir? Right? Or is the heter going even further than a minhag lahachmir? In other words, is the heter just saying, oh, usually during the week there's this minhag not to rely on sinan hakadera, but on Erev Shabbos, b'shas al-chak, you could rely on sinan hakadera, so taka, you have to wait for it to get cold, or at the very least pour it off on the other side. But again, on Erev Shabbos, you could assume that pouring it off on the other side will work. You don't have to be worried about funny-shaped spreading and the like. That's one way to read it. That seems to be the way the Shach and the Taz read the Kula of Erev Shabbos. In other words, really, there's no new ground being broken over here. Right? There's no new ground being broken over here. It's just the point is that you don't have to worry about the concerns that would ordinarily happen if Tzinon or pouring it out the wrong side or all those things. And we're following the Ikar Adin, and the Ikar Adin we paskin like the smak, that if it's a keneged rotev, it's mutter. That's one way to say it. However, if you look at the Gra, he says no, that the pshat in Erev Shabbos is that you could be mekel, like the Ravan and the Ramban, that we don't say Hanan by Balua. Right? So the nafgamina is, let's say it fell keneged harekan, and you poured it out that way, ba'odocham. So if you hold like the Gra, it will still be mutter on Erev Shabbos or B'Shas Chak or the like. Whereas, if you hold like the Shach and the Taz, it would be Aser.
And there's not Shishim against Shishim.
Right. So there's a big difference how to understand the B'Shas Chak, right? Is the B'Shas Chak, you know, you're Somech on a Das Yachid, and Ramban were not usually Somech on a Also, just Derech Agav, in terms of Klali Horan, Paskening Shilas, you see a couple of interesting points of Shasat Chak. First of all, you see that this Shasat Chak is, I think we've talked about this before, is not defined. It's Be'enei Hamora, what's considered a Shasat Chak, right? It might be for an Ani, it's okay, and for an Ashir, it's not okay, or the like. And the other thing that you see that the Nosei Kalim point out is you have to inform if you're being Mekel, because it's a Shasat Chak, you have to make sure the person knows, otherwise it could lead to an Isser and the like.
Such a common occurrence that next time it happens, they're
going to... Oh, well, first of all, it seems that way because we have a minim, right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about a minim in this case, right? Which means it's common, like the Shach points out. You can't have minhagim for things that aren't common. So it's common enough that there's a minhag. The funny thing about it, I don't want to get into it so much, is what the minhag was is very interesting. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, the minhag's to be machmir. And then the Shach says, the two are Deshen, who's the Gadol Shvigdailin. Right? So it's very interesting to pshat. In other words, why does he give so much credence to the Tumas of Deshen? Well, I don't know.
That's what I said.
Because he says, the Tumas of Deshen, one of his, was to work out what the minug is, right? You look in a lot of Tumas of Deshen, and that's what he's figuring out. What's the minug? Yeah, I don't know, think of the Tumas of Deshen by Boer or the like. So, the Tumas of Deshen is someone who Mamish worked at the Minhagim. And he said, the minhag is not that way. And then the irony is, the Prima Gadol says, well, actually, the minhag is that way. What the minhag is definitely the subject of dispute, or maybe it changed, I don't know. One way or the other, though, it's common enough for there to be a minhag. Okay, then we have this idea of Keneged HaEish, which I guess we're not going to talk about anymore, because we talked about that last time when we did greats. But I will point out that the contemporary poskim note that Keneged HaEish isn't going to help us so much nowadays, because usually, unless you're using too big of a flame, so the flame doesn't stays on the bottom of the pot, it doesn't go up the walls of the side of the pot. We're out of time. I'm going to tell you one other last interesting hara, and then I guess we'll have to leave the rest. So how much do you actually need? We are always talking about shishim pamim shishim, but not so simple. So the Shach says shishim pamim shishim is not precise. Why? Because let's say you have one tip of chalav. How much basar could that add? Aser, 59.9. Right, and then they're both chananified, so you end up with 60.99 of Isser. So really, it's shishim pa'amim, 60 times 60.99. Okay, everybody was not precise, but really that's what it is. If you look at the Gra, Siv Katan Chavav, he says, Emein betav shel shishim pa'amim pachos me'at. So you actually need 60 times 59.99. So what happened to the Shach's Cheshbon made a lot of sense, right? So I think this actually goes back to our discussion that we had at the very beginning of Saudi Base. And if you recall, at that time we didn't really solve this issue. We were pushing it off to Saudi Dalit. But the Gra is going to say like this. Shach got it all wrong. Let's say Itaka Asard, right? So you have one Kazayis of Chalav, 59.99 Kazayisim of Basar, right? Okay, so the basar became aser, and the chalav became aser. But we're not mitzarif them. The contents of the pot will be mevatel the basar, right, b'shishim, and the chalav, b'shishim. And even though they're chananified, since they have two different tastes, they could be batel separately. Just like we said back at Sif Aleph and Simen Tzadi Beis. Remember Sif Aleph and Simen Tzadi Beis? So we pointed out, like the Taz said, that really we have two kazesim of iser. Right, in the case where the piece of basar fell into the milk. Not one, but two. What are the two? One is the kezayis of chalav that's chananified, for which you need shishim, and one is the kezayis basar that's chananified. So why is one panim shishim enough? Because you could be mevatel the two kezayisim with 60 kezayisim. So that's why the Gra over here says that the Shach's all wrong. You don't need shishim panim. Now, what did the Shach say? Maybe the Shach said that they're not mitzdarif. They are mitzdarif because they're the same shame iser, even if they have two different tamim. So that really gets back to Siman Sadi Dalit and how you understand Sadi Dalit. So guess we pushed it off then, we'll push it off again. And there are a lot more very interesting things here, but we're out of time. So make sure that you guys start Siman Sadi Gimel tomorrow. A lot of work there also. Okay.
We're not doing...